And now for something purposely positive.
And welcome to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast. Brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. This is Tony Wexler, your host, and on this podcast, we talk about positive issues to bring positive content into the world. As many of you know, before becoming a speaker, trainer, and coach, I worked for 20 years as an investigator. Now, in that world, my job was to find the truth and find the evidence to support that truth. On today's episode, we're going to discuss finding the evidence for a limitless life. And to help me with this topic, I want to welcome my new friend, Whitney. Whitney, welcome to the podcast today. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited for this conversation today.
I am very excited to have this conversation because this whole idea of a limitless life, I mean, a life with no limits, and it is available to all of us. So with that in mind, I'd like to hear a little bit more about you and your story and how you got to where this topic truly resonates with you.
Yeah, I'm happy to share. So I was born in sort of the prairies of Canada, small place, beautiful people. And you realize in some of those moments, looking back, you know, we had everything that we needed, but you didn't really know what was available to you. Right. I think about myself growing up and thinking about opportunities, seeing million-dollar houses and giant businesses and all of these fabulous things on movie shows, but not seeing them actually being available to you. And so I think about sort of those humble beginnings and a lot of hustle to kind of get to the place that I am now, but understanding that everything is available to myself and to everyone that's listening. It's wonderful.
That is definitely wonderful. Everything is available. Everything is possible. I'm a firm believer in possibilities. And when we embrace those possibilities and we connect with those things that are right in front of us, it helps us to understand. I can just see this. I'm picturing you like in this like Laura Ingalls Wilder dress, Little House on the Prairie, running through the field right now. And then realizing, though, that that the world is much bigger. And I know before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about traveling. And when we see how other people live, it really gives us insight. So limitless, what does that word mean to you exactly?
You know, limitless has become like the ethos that I run my business on and something that I'm always talking to clients about. It's like that belief that if you can dream it or you can see it, you can believe it, like you can have anything. And so I think limitless is just that infinite possibilities. And it's so funny because we always, you know, okay, I've got this one goal. And then when you really stop to think about it, you're like, well, is that all that I'm capable of? Or is that all that's there for me? And so I'm always encouraging clients to think about, you know, what's that next big thing so we can blow the doors off of the goal.
Yeah, blowing the doors off the goal. I love that idea and looking for that next big thing. Because a lot of times, you know, we just find ourselves going through life. But what if we could see those possibilities and look for that next big thing in front of us? So when you're sitting down with somebody, what are the things that you do to get them to realize that life is full of these limitless possibilities and that next big thing is available to them?
Yeah, I think so much of the process is meeting people where they are, right? And we are sort of designed and coached through many years of early upbringing to say, okay, set a small goal, set something that's achievable. You don't want to miss this. You better do it this way. And so there's a lot of that pre-programming that people have that we kind of just want to understand, like, where are you? What do you think is possible? Where are you getting stuck? Either by the business that you thought you loved and set up, or the way you set it up, or just what you think is available to you. So I think that first big piece is really just seeing where people are, meeting them where they are, and then challenging some of what they think is actually possible for themselves. You know, there are so many people who believe, I work with a lot of women entrepreneurs, and so many of them would believe that it's hard work to run a business. It's hard work to scale a business. I can only have a business that's so large. And all of that is fake news, right? And so we're constantly going through that process of, okay, well, couldn't it be bigger? Sure, it could. So as soon as you start to remove the identity that you have from that process or that way of thinking, then things just seem to open up for people.
Oh, I like that. I like the idea of removing the identity, because I think that's where we get stuck, right? We get stuck in our identity, because here, I know here in the U.S., and people listen to this all over the world, but in the U.S. especially, people really identify with who you are. When you meet somebody at a party or something, the first thing you say is, what do you do, right? Because what you do is your identity. And what you'll say is, well, I'm an accountant. Or in my case, I used to say, I'm an investigator. I'm an entrepreneur. We identify with that, and our identity is really so much more. And when we see that limitless possibility that our life is so much more than just that one identity, you know, for you, Whitney, you're not only are you Whitney the entrepreneur, but you're also Whitney the sister, right? Whitney the daughter. I don't know if you're Whitney the mother or not, but Whitney the friend. But inside of you is Whitney, the natural woman who yearns to reach out and touch those things that are right in front of you and to go after those goals and those limitless possibilities. And when you can ignite someone's passion to go after those things, that's the greatest reward that I know I can have as a coach. And I'm sure in your line of work, it's probably the same for you. So I want to go back. You can comment on that. It looked like you wanted to comment.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, like, I always think the biggest privilege that I get is I am typically the first person that someone wants to celebrate with, right? And I just think, how magical is that, that that's what my life is? We get to work on, and we work on some like deep stuff together, but we work on it together. And I'm that person who gets the message or gets the email or gets the celebration with you to say, wow, we did that. You know, we had a 50K month, or we closed these new sales. Or what I always think is the best compliment: I feel more like myself than I have in years.
Ooh, I love that. That's really deep. Yeah.
And so when you think about identity, there are so many other people that we are asked to become. And typically, I'm not a mother, but many of my clients are, many friends are. And so I watch them in their business, put their teams ahead of them, their kids are ahead of them, the family needs are ahead of them, the husband or partner or spouse, whatever, is ahead of them. And so they are the ones that are lifting everybody else up and putting themselves last on the list. And so to have them sort of stepping forward, and I think there also is this misconception that if I put my needs first, where I'm happy first, then everyone else comes after, which doesn't feel good as a mom or as a spouse or that kind of thing, when it's actually the opposite. Like, there's so much of when mom or the sister or whoever is happier, everyone benefits, everyone is happier.
Yes, that is true. I mean, I find that if I get a good night's sleep and I'm having a good day, then I am a much better person to be around. If I'm crabby or grumpy. And it's funny, I was just having a conversation with somebody because we were talking about when coaches go through, like, we all have bad days. Everybody has a bad day. Sometimes when I have a bad day, I'll start to fall into that route where you complain and you start saying things. And I have a couple of friends who will turn and look at me and they'll say, well, what would Coach Tony say? And I think they're being a little funny, but you know what? That's wisdom, because sometimes when we get into those situations, when we're not putting ourselves first, we don't give ourselves the same advice that we would give to our clients. So I want to hear a little bit more about your journey to go from, you know, being this little girl living on the prairie to going to where you are now. I really find that when I listen to people's journeys and when people listening can hear that, hey, you know, it really reinforces the fact that there is a limitless life and everything and anything is possible. And yeah. I think story is a big way to do that. So tell me a little bit more about that journey that you took and maybe some of the pitfalls you overcame along the way.
Yeah, happy to. So one of my first jobs, I was working as a receptionist in a furniture company, right? It was at the time you were responding to ads in the paper. And so you printed out your resume and you drove around the city. And, you know, at that time for me, it was just, you needed a job. There was no, it wasn't like a career aspiration at the time. It was just like a very functional thing of, I should have a job. I should do these things. And I remember I had a girlfriend who had gotten another job. So I'm working at this furniture store. And I had a friend who got another job and she said, you know, you got to come work at this place because I'm making 2 times as much per hour. And I thought, how is that possible? Like, I'm working so hard. I'm making like, okay, money here, but I'll make more money there. And it was funny because I went to talk to someone who was managing the manager at the time. And I explained to them, I'm going to go here. It's not because I'm unhappy, but I know I'm going to make more money over here. And she said, you know, that's not going to work out for you. It might be okay for them, but it's not going to work out for you. And so when it doesn't work out, you're welcome to come back. And I kind of thought, how do you know it's not available to me? Right? Like maybe this is that stubborn 19-year-old, right? That like resiliency. I thought, how do you know what's possible? And in that moment, it's like, okay, I think I've actually been limiting myself by working at this place. And so had other opportunities that came up. And so the next place I was working at was a professional services firm. And I had never worked in a big business before. I didn't, my dad was a high school principal and my mom was a high school secretary. And so business was like something that you saw on TV, right? Yeah. Like New York, skyscrapers, whatever. And so here I am. I'm 19 years old. I put on a suit and a string of pearls and some heels. I'm like, okay, this is like business, Whitney. And my job was really to like, it was more accountability, marketing, sales, helping some of the business leaders follow through on more business development stuff. And so what I say is I put on a suit and then I bossed around some of the leaders at this company. They had no idea how old I was. And I didn't know what business looked like at the time. Right. So I just thought, okay, I'm just going to do my job. I'm going to treat everybody the same. And I basically did that for like 10 years. I moved a few times, but that's really when I look back, that's how I got my start as a performance coach, really working with people on seeing themselves differently, seeing more for their business, helping them find proof points, helping them build up some of those supports that they need to really believe in themselves and do this. And so as I continued my career, I had taken another move to another company. And I thought, this is like the dream job, global travel, doing all of these fabulous things and really helping do a lot of business transformation. And the company got sold and parceled off. It was like the most heartbreaking moment, like up until that moment in my life, the most heartbreaking moment when you think like, I've got this dream job and now I'm not sure what comes next. And I think in that moment, it was like taking a pause to say, okay, that thing that I really wanted is no longer available. And so what would I choose now? What future is going to get me excited? And I think for me, I had this realization that I really wanted to own my own story. I really wanted to be in charge. I didn't want this to be something that was happening to me again. And so I started my own business, and that was 10 years ago. So I started my own business then. And even at that point, as a new entrepreneur, you think, what's available to me? I don't know what good looks like other than, you know, you obviously want to pay your bills and things like that, want to have some success. But I was maybe a year into building my business. And I got a call from this firm I was doing a lot of consulting work with. And they said, you know, we want to understand what you're doing because you have sold more than any of the other consultants across Canada by double. And wow. So I thought, Oh, and it was so interesting in that moment because I thought, okay, Whitney, shame on you. You had no goal, right? Second, like, way to go, girlfriend. That's awesome. And the third one is that feeling of like somebody's phoning me and they must be phoning for a bad reason, not a good one, right? Mm. That's like that natural instinct, I think sometimes that people have to think, oh, this must be bad news. You know, like I say, hey, Tony, I got to talk to you about something. You're not always assuming it's something good.
Yeah, that sounds like the relationship thing where the partner in the relationship says, we have to talk.
When yes.
you hear those three words, or those words, you get like, uh-oh, what's that mean?
Exactly. Just tell me now, what is it? Anyways, and so I think, you know, over the last 10 years, I've had many different opportunities. I've worked with hundreds of entrepreneurs. By now, I've worked with hundreds of like executive leaders. And it's been like a wild ride, but it's still, you still catch yourself at every point in the journey thinking, oh, okay, I guess you're like discovering new beliefs, discovering new limiting beliefs, uncovering, you know, what is it really that you desire, which is, you know, what I love to talk to people about. So yeah, it's like, it's so interesting because I think 10 years in to being an entrepreneur, 20 years in my career, and I still just feel like I'm getting started, which is such a cool feeling. It's like everything is still available. Everything yes. is still possible. Very
I
cool.
I love that because I get that every day. I made my change was just a few years ago. It was in 2020. It was right in the middle of that big C word. Are we allowed to say that? COVID? Can we say that on the air? Anyway, when that all happened, I was still working as an investigator at the time, and I just was looking for something different because I got tired of all the negativity. I mean, you're dealing with bad people doing bad things. And, you know, while I was contributing and I was finding that evidence and finding the truth and doing all that, I just knew that there was something more out there. And 2019, I was actually thinking of getting into sales training. Because I was really good at getting confessions whenever I would interview my suspects, because I had a lot of psychology, NLP, and a lot of these skills that I learned, I transitioned into when I was interviewing. So I could teach other investigators how to get the confessions as well. And not only get the confession, but have the suspect thank you for the opportunity to confess. And I figured if I can teach that, I can teach somebody how to sell a car. So I was going to put this sales training business together 2019. And then, of course, 2020, the whole COVID happens, lockdowns all over. How am I going to market this? Because I can't go out and market it. But it's always a blessing in disguise. Mm-hmm. Everything that happens in our life, you know, you heard that cliche, everything happens for a reason. Well, it really does. And if we look closer, it's like those things that happened in your life going back, you can trace that if I had done it this way, or if that hadn't happened, then I would be stuck here. So, you know, everything happens for a reason. And what it forced me to do was to get a coach, to actually start doing some training and finding out that not only teaching sales, persuasion, that type of thing, but really working with people one-on-one and helping them to find their limitless life that's possible for them, and helping them to break free from the burnout in their life and to realize that there's something more out there, and to start doing that for other people was really aligned with what I wanted to do. And everything, all the skills that I learned all the way up till then, I mean, even podcasting, when I was in high school, I worked as a DJ. So I'm able to do that now, because in 2020, I started this podcast. I got tired of all the negativity in the world. And I said, there has to be something more positive out there. And I heard that voice that we hear, this is your job. So that's when I started this podcast. And so really all these things, and Tony Robbins has a saying that he says, I think he got it from Jim Rome, who was his mentor. And that is, life happens for us and not to us. And I truly believe that if we look for those opportunities, those things that come right in front of us, those connections that we make. I don't know, have you ever been to a party and maybe you're having a discussion with somebody, and sometimes it's like, okay, move on to the next person, right? But then you meet somebody and you start to feel that really deep connection, you know, that click that's deep inside of you. And as you speak, it's almost like there's a cord of light between you and this person, and the warmth of that connection grows. And we do this with not only with people, but with things and with events in our life and with what we do. So when you tell your story, I mean, I can totally relate to it. Now, what I'd like to do, the investigator in me is coming out again, and I want to start finding that evidence for that limitless life in that story. So were there certain moments, because I know your story about all of a sudden you're becoming an entrepreneur, you have no idea what you're doing, you really have no goals, you're the girl with no goals, and what's the first thing they tell you to do, right? Get your goals and write them down. Well, you didn't have, but you managed to become a success. So what were the clues along the way? What were the little things that you did that helped you think, to become the successful person that sits before me today?
Yeah. It's so interesting, because looking back, you can certainly connect all of the dots, right? And if somebody is like deep in it right now, they might be hearing the conversation like, oh, sure, it's happening for me. Thanks, Tony. But it's absolutely true. And you can still have that moment to say like, I know this is happening for me, and I still don't feel good today. That's okay. But I know it's going to get better. Right. And I think there's still, like, rather than skipping over some emotions that I think some of this toxic positivity can be sometimes, right? It's like really just allowing you to feel that, grieve the loss of whatever you thought was coming next, and being in a place where, like, okay, know what's happening for me. Let's continue down this path.
Exactly. And you have to just keep going no matter what's happening, and pick yourself up and move forward. So if we were giving someone out there listening some advice who wanted to make a change in their life and wanted to look for this limitless life that's in front of them, how would they do that? What would be some of the tips that you would give for somebody out there who's listening?
I love starting from a place of like deep desire. Right? Like, forget about the money. I know money is like of critical importance, shelter, safety, food, all of the things, family. Just assume that we're going to get everything sorted out and set those aside for a minute. If you could just build a life that you desire, where you woke up every day and you thought, this is amazing. I can't believe this is my life. I get to do these things and have these things and be with these people and get paid to do it, because we'll assume that's going to be in there somewhere. But it really is from like a deep place of desire. I think our minds and our hearts are such powerful parts of us. And it's almost like we shut them down sometimes when we're like, oh no, that's not available to you. So like, don't dream too big about that. But I think starting from a place of like, what do you really want? What do you desire? And giving yourself the permission to just like freestyle what that would look like. And it might be that you're in a place that's so wildly different right now that, you know, there's a bit of a bridge that needs to happen between, let's say it's a 9-to-5 job and you want to be an entrepreneur. There's probably a bridge there, a side hustle of some kind, or a quick start, something, or maybe some skill development that happens. But I truly believe it's like we don't spend enough time really thinking about what lights us up. And we get on this path where someone gets trained as an accountant and they think, this is my life. Jeez, yeah. you know? And so it's always permission to come back and change. And I think, so, you know, back to that conversation on identity, sometimes we get so comfortable being for not only ourselves, but other people around us are comfortable with us being, you know, Tony the investigator or Whitney the corporate person or whatever. And so it's permission to continue to evolve and think about things that are bigger and things that are going to light you up. And I always think where there's joy, the money follows. There's always a way to figure out how to make money doing something. There's always a way to figure out how to build your business doing something that you love. And that is like the greatest marketing magnet that a person could hope for, right? Is like being so lit up by something that somebody just can't help but want whatever it is that you're selling, you know? And so I always think, starting from that place of desire, what does your life look like? What are you doing? Who are you with? And I think sometimes people glaze over that part. Like, I want to own a business and I want a new car. Okay, well, you've told us a little bit, but like, let's get really clear on things. And so spending that extra time just really thinking about the specifics of it. How much do you work? What kind of work do you do? You know, for me, being in a corporate setting, I've had many corporate clients. Now I love working mostly with women entrepreneurs. And it's because the life I desire is one where I get to travel all the time. I don't need to be in downtown Toronto or whatever city center working directly with someone. And that's the benefits of some of the benefits of COVID did that to most of the workforce. But it's like my limitless life looks like winters in Mexico, summers in Europe, and travel whenever I choose. So, you know, we all get to define what is going to light us up. And I think spending the time to really think about it is the best use of time. And to come back to it, permission to come back and change too.
Yeah. And give yourself permission to dream about the life that you want and the life that you desire. Because really, I have a 3D formula when I call it the 3Ds of success. And the first D is what you just said, desire. You have to know what you want. Most people don't know what you want, or don't know what you want, don't know what they want. Mm-hmm. We don't know what we want. And sometimes we have to sit down and just spend that time, that quiet time, just reflecting on what is our heart's desire? What would we truly love to have in our life? And I like how you brought up the traveling and things like that, because that's so important. You know, we could say, well, I want to make a lot of money. Well, there's a lot of jobs out there that'll, you can make a lot of money doing, but you're not going to be happy. And I think that's what I find in my coaching. I deal with a lot of burnout and a lot of people who are just burned out of what they do. And because they're not doing what they love, they followed the formula that we were taught when we were younger, which was you go to school, you get an education, you get a good job, and you work every day, and you save a little bit of money, and then maybe you retire at the end. Well, that formula, that doesn't work, because it doesn't give us that true joy in our life that we really want. It doesn't give us those limitless possibilities that are out there for us. So I love it how you start with the desire. And in my formula, the next thing that I always tell people is then you have to make that decision. You have to decide that this is what you want. This is what you're going to go for. One of the things that help us along the way, have you read Atomic Habits?
Yeah, great book.
It's a great book. It's a great one. The most profound things in there that I read, and it made so much sense to me. And it's just one of those little nuggets that I took out of it was he talked about how we get our dopamine hit from anticipation more than the actual thing that we're going for. For example, like someone here's a bad example, the smoker. The smoker gets the bigger dopamine hit from taking the cigarette out and lighting it up more than they do from actually smoking it. So it's that anticipation. So I think when you write down these dreams and these desires in front of you and you write them down and you really go deep, you know, on what you want, not just to make a lot of money, like you said, but this is the kind of life I want. I want to be able to travel, go where I want to go. I want to be able to, you know, if you have children, I want to raise my children in this type of environment. I want to live in this kind of house. And, you know, I want to be able to enjoy certain types of meals, you know, just get really, really detailed on that. And when you get detailed on what you want, and then you begin to anticipate what that will be like, that dopamine hit that you get and that energy will actually energize you. It's kind of like, do you like chocolate?
Of course, I like chocolate. Yes.
So if you get a nice piece, like for me, it's dark chocolate. I love the dark chocolate. And so if you get a nice piece of chocolate and you slowly unwrap it and then you just put it up in front of your mouth and you can just anticipate that tasting that chocolate and that explosion of pleasure when you bite into it, and the anticipation is just what did it, right? You probably just got the bigger dopamine hit just thinking about it than actually eating the chocolate itself. That's a great weight tip for all you people listening. Just anticipate it. You get the dopamine hit and you can move on. But I got that from that book, and also some of my background in studying, you know, some different psychological things. You know, I used to read psychology books, textbooks for fun. But the point is that having the desire and knowing exactly what you want is actually what sets the course. It sets you on your way to the destination that you want to get to. So, you know, I talked about desire, making the decision to go for it. But the last thing that you need is you have to have determination to follow through. And so what do you think about that? I mean, where does decision and determination fall into your formula, Whitney?
So I love all of those parts. Where some of my clients get a little stuck is they're saying, okay, sure, I'm determined and I'm going to work hard and I've made this decision and I want all of this money, but how do I make it happen? And so typically what I'm working with them on is to say, let's look at that business plan that feels good and aligns with all of this stuff. And so often we've got these money blocks, success blocks, wealth blocks. We've got all of these beliefs and experiences and stories that have happened to people that are what's holding us back from feeling this limitless life, feeling like anything's possible. And so typically as we go through this process, we're saying, okay, here's the how. Even if it doesn't happen in that same way, or if it happens faster than we plan, like, that's amazing. No one's going to be upset if we say, let's pretend to 10x your business next year, take action like you are. And then if we only 5x it, are you going to be upset? No. If it takes it a couple months longer, no. Right. And I think this is where it comes back to, sure, that determination to make things work. But I think so often people think determination means hustle and burnout and working 24/7, which is not part of the formula for success, right? You know?
Exactly. It's a different layer of it. I think it's a different part of it. You have, it's kind of like the force. You have the dark side,
yeah,
and you have the, you know, the light, and you have to focus. You don't want to focus on the dark side of determination where you're not sleeping. I just recently, I got a phone call from a woman who her husband I had worked with as a client. And after a month of working with him, he was trying to get his business going off the ground. He'd been doing pretty good, but he was spending way too much time at the office. And when that happens, what suffers? Everything else in your life,
yeah,
your health, your family. And what I did not know is that his marriage was pretty much on the rocks. I mean, they were, if things kept going the way they would have kept going for another couple months, you know, I think that other D word would have,
yeah,
shown up, and it's,
yeah,
not decision, determination, or desire. So after I worked with him for a month, you know, we talked about the importance of self-care and the importance of taking time from yourself, the importance of, mm-hmm, prioritizing and being more productive so that when you're working, you're getting more done. And after 30 days, I got a call from the wife of all things saying, hey, I want to send you a gift. What's your favorite restaurant? I'll buy you a gift card, because her husband was home. Their marriage was better than ever. And this is just in 30 days. So
yeah,
it's getting those priorities straight. And just exactly, you know, what you were talking about, if you're working and just killing yourself, it's not going to give you the life that you want. It's not going to give you the limitless, mm-hmm, limitless life you want. Say that 5 times fast, right?
There. Yeah. But how rewarding to get that phone call, to receive that message, to be there. And I think this is where, you know, many people believe that big transformation needs to take a long time, needs to be really complex. I need to hire 100 people, you know, and none of that is required. Sometimes I always find it's actually the simplifying of things in order to multiply your results. And that's a hard equation for people to wrap their heads around sometimes, because they're like, but wait a minute, Whitney, we're going to do less? Yes, we are, but we're going to do better things. You're going to be more focused. You won't have all of this context switching. You'll have time to recharge. You'll have time with family. You'll have time to do these things. And so it's really powerful, but that really is the key, is like, how do you simplify and focus and make sure that it's everything that is on your plate is something that you really want. Mm-hmm. Like I always think for the hypnotic recordings that I do, I'm always thinking, is this going to excite your mind? If it doesn't excite your mind, you will not do it.
That's true. It has to be something that you will do. And just writing it down, and just that is one of the biggest problems that people have in achieving success is, you know, they know the things that they have to do, but, you know, they won't do it. So maybe it's looking at that plan and rewriting it to find the things that you will do along the way. You know, an example will be in my field in coaching. What a lot of people are doing now in social media is they're doing these cold DMs. And I hate the term cold DM. I don't use cold call. I don't like the term cold because it implies something. It implies something that's very negative. It's really more of like opportunity outreach, right? You're reaching out to people. But the whole idea of just DMing people at random is just something that's something that I knew that I'm not going to do that. That's not what I'm all about. So I don't put that on my formula for what I do. If there's someone out there that likes to do that and is good at that, that's fine. I'm an extroverted person. I'm a very social person. But that's just not the place. I like to have an established relationship with somebody before I start having a conversation with them. So anyway, that, you know, off to the side. So that's just the importance of finding things that resonate with you, because you're not going to do the things that don't.
Well, things that feel good to you are going to attract results. I always say, like, if you don't feel good doing it, it's not going to happen for you. So let's just save ourselves some time. Mm-hmm. And remove that from the plan, right? Or find a better way.
And people are going to pick up on that energy. You know, people can tell when somebody is uncomfortable in a situation. You can always see that. And I tend to find that when I was training and working with other investigators, women made great investigators because they naturally have intuition and they can pick up on things a lot more than men, you know. And I'm an avid people watcher. I love going to places and just watching people. Mm-hmm. I'll sit down in a restaurant with some friends and we'll just look at different tables and we'll go, okay, what's their story over there? And we'll tell the story. And 9 out of 10 times when I do it, I probably got it right.
Fun. What a fun activity.
It's a lot of fun. You should try that. See, I gave you a little nugget along the way.
Yeah.
So before we wrap things up, is there anything else that you would like to say about the idea of the limitless life and what things we can do? What change can we make first thing tomorrow or even first thing after listening to this podcast? What is maybe one or two things in our life that we could do that would help us to move toward a limitless life?
I think the first thing people could do is look at your calendar and notice how you feel about some of the things that are in there. If you catch yourself, even if you're someone who is like a noisemaker, like I'm a noisemaker. So when I see something in my calendar I don't want, I'm like, oh, right? It's like the invisible eye roll. Or I'll see like, can't wait for whatever the thing is. And so I think going through, looking at those opportunities in there to remove, reschedule, delete, if you can, find a different way of doing something. So I love people to do that. I also think we just need so much more space than we used to. Like part of the reason why we don't have access to this like dreamy type of time is because we've just overscheduled and overstimulated ourselves. So I always encourage people to like find a day or find a couple of hours where like nothing comes through here. It's just like your time for joy. And so I do this thing on Fridays called Fabulous Friday. And so what it is like a day of the week that you live as your future self. You do activities that fill you up. You do, if it is a work project, that's okay. But the intention is not work. It's mostly meant to say like, let me do something for my future self in support of the future goal or some self-care to kind of recharge myself. And so I'm always encouraging people to find their version of a Fabulous Friday or use mine, borrow mine if you want, but just having that extra time that you can like give to yourself to do something that really lights you up.
I love that idea. And fabulous Friday. You know, one of the things I say is you have to start living like every day is Friday. And yeah. Some people get confused with that. They go, well, why would I want to do that? I have to work on Friday. And I said, well, that's the point. The point is that when you go to work on Friday, you're more excited because you know you're going to get to do the things you want to do on the weekend. So why not make your work something that you're excited to do that as well? So you're excited to do the things you enjoy outside of work, but also at work. Yeah. That is a truly fulfilled and limitless life. So,
absolutely. I think that is like the ultimate goal. Living, designing your life, designing your business in a way where like, oh, it's Saturday. Oh, right, it's Saturday. Like you're not waiting for the weekend or waiting for a vacation because life just feels good all the time.
Yeah, exactly. When life feels good all the time, that's the ultimate success, I think. When you wake up in the morning and you just have that joyful smile on your face because you know that this life is the life that you've built for yourself and that you love living. And I think that's the dream for everyone. That is a truly limitless life. So Whitney, if people wanted to reach out to you, what would be the best way to do that?
So you can find me on my website. It's whitneyalexandra.co. And I'm always on Instagram. So feel free to send me a DM or connect with me on there. It's whitney.alexandra.
Whitney Alexandra. And we'll look you up on your web. Your website. I like the .co. That's what everyone's doing now. I managed to get a .com. I was like, yeah, but .co nice. They say .co is the way to go right now. So, and it's one less letter. And we like things shorter, right? So
yeah.
Great. Well, this has been a great conversation. I ask all my guests this question at the end of the show. And if you've listened, you know what's coming. And that is, what does being purposely positive mean to you?
For me, we've already kind of touched on this a little bit. It's not the toxic positivity of saying like everything is good, even though it's not good. I think being purposefully positive is like choosing to find the good in something, choosing to take one step forward, choosing to even just, if you're going through a rough time, just choosing one more day, one more action, one more thing that's going to like make me feel good. Until all of the parts feel good again.
So I like that. Choose one thing today that'll make you feel good until all of the parts feel good again. That is fantastic mm-hmm. advice. Whitney, this has been an awesome conversation, and I would love to have you back in the future because I know we've just touched the top of the iceberg here, and you know there's a lot deeper we could go.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks for having me.
And you've been listening to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast, brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. And you may be out there listening and saying, how can I find those limitless possibilities in my life? You can download a free resource on my website, an ebook, Strive to Thrive, and it'll help you in the direction of a purposely positive life.